Hello, once again. I want to return to the topic at hand of the will of God. And today I want to address a sermon that was given by Brother Branham. He talked about Balaam and he talked about whether or not God would change his mind. And the conclusion of that sermon was that God does not change his mind. And so I want to be very clear about that in the very beginning. God does not change his mind. In James chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And God is not double-minded, nor is God unstable. So in order for us to be able to rely on him, he must be consistent. God cannot, therefore, change his mind. If he should do so, then he is not as all-knowing as we would think that he is. However, I believe that God is all-knowing. So the story of Balaam happens in Numbers chapter 22, and I want to give you a short summary of it. And the basics of the story is that the children of Israel were headed towards the promised land. They're in the area of Jericho, and Balak, who is the king of the Moabites, saw that they were coming, and he was afraid, and he asked for Balaam to come and to curse the children of Israel. Now, we know that Balaam was a true prophet because God spoke to him. And it says in verse 9, "And God came unto Balaam and said, What are these men with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, saying, The king of Moab hath sent me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." Now, Balak did what he was supposed to do. He told the princes of Moab to head on out because God said no. Right? And in verse 15, Balak sent princes again. And Balaam's response, he said, if in verse 18, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more, which should have ended it and sent them on their way. But here Balaam says, "Now therefore, I pray you," in verse 19, "tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." In other words, he's going to give God a second chance to say something different. Why would God change his mind? Well, God comes to Balaam and he says, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab, and God's anger was kindled because he went. Now you can go on and read the rest of this story, but Brother Branham explained this using the words permissive will and perfect will. But I would like to reconsider those particular words because God is single-minded. He had a plan that he saw from before the foundation of the world. And that plan cannot be interrupted in any detail. But he knew also that men would struggle, and in fact plan for it, because that was the purpose of what he was trying to do, express himself as the Savior, as the provider, as the Lord God who is good. All right. When God created man, he gave him a free will. In other words, the right to choose. And he gave him the right to choose many things. So when I look at this situation, I think that because Balaam went to ask God again, he was going to try to talk God into this, so that he could benefit. He was going to try to talk God into letting him go so that he could benefit, because Balak was promising him all of these things. And God did not change his mind. But what God did was he allowed Balak to pursue his own will to a certain point. Balak was going to go with these men, and he was happy to do so. And God let him get started. He was going to teach him a lesson. But God honors mankind's free will. So Balak goes along, and then God stops him. And to me, what this shows is that God will choose when to intervene and when to sit back and watch. So Balak, he said, what are you going to do? He let Balak choose, and Balak chose to go with the men, and that made God angry. And then God had to intervene, because God was simply not going to allow Balaam to curse Israel, because that is who God had blessed. Now, God didn't change his mind, but he also made an allowance for Balaam to pursue his own will. All right. This will become very important in a couple of messages down, but or actually in tomorrow's message. But I also wanted to turn to Isaiah chapter 38, because that's another example of whether or not God changed his mind. Okay, Isaiah chapter 38. It says, starting with verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So he was sick, right? And the prophet came to him and said, you're going to die. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Okay? And he does the miracle of changing the shadows, which meant moving the sun and moving the entire universe, considering that all the gravity is tied together. But what I want to look at is, did God change his mind? And I don't think so. We had a Bible study recently talking about hard sayings. And when Jesus told the 70 and the 12, that except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, the 70 could not handle it. It was a hard saying. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying or why he was saying it. But Jesus was saying it to provoke a reaction, because that was the time. And when God sent the prophet Isaiah unto Hezekiah, he told the prophet what to say in order to provoke a reaction out of Hezekiah. Now, I heard someone preach one time that it was unfortunate that Hezekiah would ask for more time, because later in the story, Hezekiah is visited by emissaries out of Babylon. And his pride gets the better of him a little bit, and he shows these emissaries from Babylon all around his palace and his temple, and shows them all the goods that he has and how rich he is, and he's bragging a little bit, got a little bit prideful. And the prophet comes up to him and says, why did you do that? It's going to come to a bad end. And indeed it does, because the word gets back to Nebuchadnezzar, who says, you know what, this is a land that we want to take over because they are rich and have lots of things. So the preacher was preaching and said, Hezekiah did a wrong thing by asking for more time, because look how it turned out. It turned out horrible for the people of Israel, or the people of Judah, I should say. And I don't agree with that. Who of us when we get sick, does not pray to the Lord for healing. And here, God had provoked Hezekiah into action, and Hezekiah did the natural thing. He did the natural, faithful thing, which is to ask for mercy and pray to God for deliverance from this sickness, which any of us would do that, right? Hezekiah could not know that sometime down the line, he would make a mistake which would cause Judah to be carried away to Babylon. Now, when I think about this, when Hezekiah went about showing these people his treasures, he was pursuing his own will. It was his desire, not God's desire, but it was his own desire to show the men his riches. God's will, believe it or not, was for the children of Israel to go to Babylon. It's part of the story. God had decided long time before that all of the children of Judah would be carried off to Babylon because it would be setting a pattern that would demonstrate what God would do later on with faith and so on. Kind of a long, involved story. But the carrying off of Babylon created situations. Let me follow this through. The carrying off of Babylon turned into a faith center for the Jews, that because they weren't in Israel, in Jerusalem, that they started to have these intellectual colleges of faith, as it were, the very beginning roots of denominationalism within the Hebrew faith. By the time Jesus comes along, these denominations are full blown, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees arguing over what the different doctrines were. And then that denominationalism follows through into the Christian church as well. God was trying to tell a story, and he was setting the chessboard. And the visit to Babylon was part of that story. There were lots of ramifications. Lots of things came out of that visit to Babylon. It was going to happen anyway. It was important to the way God was telling the story in order to set the chessboard the way that it was important for them to go to Babylon. And so whether it was Hezekiah or whether it was some other king, one way or another, Judah would have ended up in Babylon. So did God change his mind? No, I don't think that he did. I think that he provoked Hezekiah to action with his words. And Hezekiah did what most of us true believers would do and ask for mercy and ask for healing. And then, because Hezekiah was not able to know all of the future, it turned out that he ended up making a mistake that led to the captivity. But it was going to happen anyway. God didn't change his mind, but rather God set the chess pieces and put the pieces in motion. He knew that Hezekiah would fall, even if Hezekiah didn't. So he put Hezekiah in the right place in order to be able to spur the Babylonians to come and to get them. But what was it? It was God's will, his one will, his only will, that this part of the story would be told. And he allowed at the same time for Hezekiah to pursue his own will, and it resulted in the same thing. So they came together. Brother Branham said that the permissive will would bring about the perfect will. But I want to be very careful to understand that God only has one will. And the other will that is in play in these situations is man's will. God has one will and man has another will. But God also has a very strong principle that he will allow men to choose. And at the same time, he will choose when to intervene and when to hang back.